There is actually, it's for the New York Bar, but there's a New York Bar ethics opinion from earlier this year that if you do this kind of work, you should take a look at. It really outlines the necessity to put a lot of these things in writing, and sometimes in our profession of white collar, we're a little more reluctant to put things in writing, but here's one area where you want to put everything in writing and think of every possibility. You've got actually multifaceted layers when dealing with engagement when you're representing multiple parties in an investigation. There's what I think is the more obvious one is addressing the conflict waiver amongst your clients. But it's more complicated than just getting them to waive the conflict. It's also sharing of information, which I referenced earlier. My general practice is that I have in my engagement letter that amongst the clients, all information can be shared freely because it's hard for me, as I said earlier, to always keep separate in my own mind who told me what when. Yes, you have interview memos, et cetera, but it becomes fluid. And that's the benefit, as I explained to clients at the outset, that they get by hiring me, is you get the collective knowledge. And so because they've got me and the collective knowledge, that means all of you are sharing information. Having said that, though, from a client relationship standpoint, when there's a significant step or information that comes out about one client, I always remind that client, sometimes ask permission to disclose that to the other clients. I think it just makes them feel more comfortable that we have a one-on-one relationship and that I'm actually representing them as well as representing others. So there's the information sharing that becomes so important. And then there's this whole other complex level of what do you do with the company? The wonderful thing in these situations, if you're pool counsel, is the company usually pays your bill. And so usually they're signing off on either addendum to an engagement letter or some sort of undertaking. But that adds another level of complexity. You usually have a common interest agreement with the company. Is that in writing or not? You have to make clear that while the company may be paying your bill, the company is not your client for conflict purposes because you later don't want to be conflicted out. So there's all these other complex layers. It's not as simple as your normal engagement by any means. Sometimes it can be done in one agreement with an addendum, but there's lots of different layers, including, for example, what if a conflict arises? You know, there's been some suggestion that maybe you should just retain the right to pick in your engagement letter which client you're going to take if there's a conflict that arises. I think that there's probably pros and cons to that. One of the big downsides is that later on, if you pick a client, the others could complain you've always been only focused on that client. I think if you're upfront in the beginning, particularly in the situation where you might represent both the company and like a CEO, saying at the outset, I'm going to pick the company if a conflict arises, is a good thing to do. So it's out on the table. Everybody knows from the beginning what's happening. My engagements, though, typically involve employees who are not co-represented with a company. I have company representations, but I think crossing that, except in limited circumstances, is very difficult.
Yeah. I want to get back to the issue of what happens when a conflict arises, but what you're talking about, it's really you're running your own one-shop joint defense group with all of the complications that joint defense groups create, and it's all on you to sort that through when things happen. But before we leave the subject of logistics, I wanted to ask Patrick if you could talk about it from the company's perspective, what you ask for when you have pool counsel involved in your investigations and how you view it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things I focus on is how can I get insurance to pay for it?
Yeah.
And so a lot of the work I do with pool counsel is figuring out, you know, with all the different things across the waterfront, where is an insurable event? You know, if you've got a securities claim on the back end of it, and then working with the insurer to get the pool counsel approved. The second thing I do spend a lot of time on is who is the right counsel for my ultimate audience. And so if it's a regulator, I want to find someone that typically was in that same office, that has credibility, that has a good reputation, so I worry about that quite a bit. The third is how am I able to know that you're being a good steward without having privilege issues, and then reaching an understanding on that in the beginning and working through it. And then also, how do I come up with a fee structure that is fair for the outside attorney, but then also lets me act as a good steward? So those are my primary focuses.
What an issue that you reminded me of, just in terms of the insurance coverage, is, you know, there are complications in recording and billing time, and this is like one of the most annoying things that all of us have to do in private practice, but the pool council arrangement makes this even more complicated, because a lot of times the work that you're doing does benefit multiple clients. How do you, Jennifer, how do you handle that, or is there...
So I've actually been fortunate enough in several situations to have the company agree that I do not have to bill separately for clients. Yeah. I think that that is all a fallacy in any event if you really try to bill separately for clients, because there is so much of what's done that's collective. I've done it before where I've had individual client bills with also then a catch-all where you know, you're kind of reviewing documents on everyone's behalf. But it's very difficult to separate it out. If you can get the company to agree that you can do what I call bulk billing for all your clients, it's more efficient for the company. I think that actually, as a practical matter, you know, if you're using Serengeti, whatever, you're probably going to see some duplication if you're actually requiring people to try to separate it out. If you do one, you can see right there as company counsel kind of what's happening. I say see with a little asterisk, because, again, you have to be careful to preserve client confidences. So.